All right. I want to share with you concerning our service on Wednesday, next Wednesday. Next Wednesday, 12? Okay. We're going to have a service next Wednesday. We're not going to have any Tuesday Bible study. I mentioned this on Sunday. Those of you who have classes, gone to the classes, so they're supposed to be talking with the teachers. We have we've shared with you that we are going to have a special service on Sunday, on Wednesday. Service is going to be at 8 p.m. on Wednesday, and we've had some messages in the past on the anointing actually is what brings the breakthrough. We've had some messages on the expectation. So the anointing is one thing, and then there must be an expectation. You are not expecting anything, then you actually don't seek out. If you're expecting, then you're expecting. You know, you're expecting. You're seeking out. You're expecting. You're not necessarily doing. In other words, you're not going to try and do it yourself, but you're expecting because of promise. Something is promised to you, then you tend to expect, especially if it's from a person that you really trust. If you don't really know the person too well, you might expect something, but you might not. But if you know the person, and you know that the person is true to his or her word, they've said something to you, they promise to do something for you, to give you something, then an expectation is developed within you, and you're looking for that thing to come. God has been speaking to us over and over and over and over. His promises are yes. His promises are definite. Because we don't know him as well as we should, sometimes our expectation is not there. We're not really expecting. The psalmist David said that my expectation comes from you. God's people, on the other hand, tend to look everywhere else for the expectation. They expect from this, or they expect from that one, or they expect from the other one, you know, or they expect, but they're not quite, the expectation is not really quite from God. See, because if your expectation is from God, then you learn basically to kind of give up your rights. So when I say give up your rights, let me clarify. When I say give up your rights, I'm not saying that you give up your rights to the devil. Okay, your rights by law are your rights. But you give up your rights because you begin to recognize your right is your right. And your right is different from your expectation. Are you following me here? Your right is different from your expectation. We tend to expect things from one another. We expect things from people. When God wants our expectation to be from Him and Him alone. You have a right to expect certain things from individuals. For example, when a older man, like myself, the reason why I'm an older man, because you can look at my hair, and you can see that my hair is all different color. It's gray, right? And so, when I walk into a room, and in that room, there is a younger man in there, it is my right to expect that younger man to get up and respect me as I come in. Why is it my right? Because it's written in here. Specifically, that is written in here. My wife has a right to expect me to love her. The reason why she has that right is because it's written in here. God said it. He says, husband, love your wives. So, it's her right. But what if I don't demonstrate that love? What is she supposed to do? I tell you what she's not supposed to do. She's not supposed to look to me for that expectation, even though it's her right. It's her right because God says so. But she's not supposed to look to me for that right. She needs now to go to God and let God, let her expectation come from God. And she needs to focus in and concentrate on her responsibilities. Are you with me here? If you're concentrating on your responsibilities, then you don't have time to criticize and knock and complain. You don't have time for that simply because you're too busy expecting from God and carrying out your responsibilities, whatever those are. Are you with me here? So when we get into that place, when we can expect from God, when we can expect from God, then all we do basically is to carry out our responsibilities as individuals, as believers, as brothers and sisters. And when we begin to do that, then we can identify with what the psalmist David said when he says, my expectations come from you. My rights, though they are my rights, I yield them. And I let my expectation comes from you. Now, if you and I would do that, then every time we do that, then it will prevent us from being critical, frustrated, uptight. Isn't it true? But this is what God has spoken to us. And so when that becomes the case, then your expectation grows. It becomes greater. Now you are excited and you want what God is really about to do. Your expectation is from Him. So no matter what's going on, you know, no matter what's going on around you, your expectations are from Him. So you're expecting from Him. When you get into that state and you're expecting like that, that is when you are creating the right environment for things to take place. We need to develop that expectation from today till next Wednesday. We need to come in based on, number one, our rights, but we need to take those rights and we need to turn those rights over to God. We need to yield our rights. Again, you have a right to do a lot of things. You have a right to do anything that is stated in God's word. You have a right to expect, a wife has a right to expect her husband to love her. A husband has the right to expect his wife to submit to him. Wives, submit to your husbands in the Lord. See, that's the word. So those are rights. But God wants us to take those rights and just surrender them to him. He wants us to focus on our responsibility. So if it's my responsibility to love my wife, and yet it's her right to actually be submissive to me, and she's not being submissive, then what I need to do is to concentrate on my responsibility to her and let my expectation come from God. God, this is the way it is. How many of you have seen the movie Fireproof? That's what that was all about, right? The movie Fireproof. You know, he had a responsibility, basically, to do what God told him to do, regardless of how his wife was responding to him. And he needed to concentrate and on his responsibility and turn to God and expect all his expectations had to come from God. That's what God wants you and me to do in preparing ourselves for this time, this service that we're coming into. To yield your right to be right and to focus on your responsibility, whatever those responsibilities are, and to let your expectation come from God. Now, I was sharing with you about timing. And Sunday, we talked about everything that you know that God does, there is a specific timing involved with it. For example, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. That's Galatians 4:4. Okay, in the fullness of time. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, all about timing again. It had to be a specific day. It was 50 days after his passion. It was 10 days from his ascension. Number 50, the number 10, it was 40 days after his passion. The number 40, they all mean something specific. Everything. There is nothing that is done haphazardly when it comes to God's timing. Everything is done precisely in the time that is set, because he knew it from the beginning. He knew exactly what would take place. He knew every movement that you and I would make. Now, he didn't plan to make us made us do those movements, but he knew what movements we would make. So a plan, the overall plan that God has, could be set up without God having to turn and mess with your will. He knew that he had to be betrayed. His son had to be betrayed. So he didn't make Judas Iscariot betray him. He didn't do that. But he found someone who basically would carry out that wish of betraying him, and he used that person, so therefore he chose that one to be numbered with one of the disciples, with the 12 disciples, with the 11 disciples. Are you following me? So get my drift. I'm not saying that God makes people do stuff. That's not the way God operates. But God knows the overall purpose. He has the overall plan, the overall time, because he knows everything. He knows how you're going to respond. Yes? Okay. So we're talking about a precise timing about everything. Now, what month is this? December. What does December remind you of? Christmas. Why? Because it's December. Right? December reminds you of Christmas. Question. Somebody help me. What is Christmas? That's the mind of a teacher. Holiday. What is Christmas? Say it again. That's right. What else? What is Christmas? Huh? I want to tell you, I want to give you a little definition. Now, it's not the only definition. It's just a working definition, right? I'm not crazy enough to give you a definition for Christmas because you have your own definition. But I want to give you a working definition for Christmas. Here's what Christmas is. Christmas is the fulfillment of a divine promise. Isn't that a nice definition? Christmas is the fulfillment of a divine promise. Because everything that God does is a fulfillment of a desire that he has. Everything that God does is a fulfillment of a desire that he has. Christmas was a fulfillment of a promise. The promise of a desire that he had. Right? Could you agree with that? Now, I'm trying to kind of link this season with the service that we're going to have from that day for the rest of the year. I don't even really want to wait on that day. You know, Sunday we actually started. There was something in the air that had started. It even started before that because God had declared certain things. Right? We've been experiencing some different things. We've been experiencing things that nobody's testifying about openly. Someone said to me Sunday before last, said at the end of the service, my daughter was having an experience, was having a spiritual experience. At first, when I looked at her, I thought something was wrong in a negative way because as a child, the baby had gone through several surgeries, fixed some things with the heart. And so when I looked and I saw something spiritual was taking place with her. But I'm not an expert on spiritual things, but the only thing that helped me, you see, what came to my mind was the the surgeries and stuff that she had had when she was young. But when I looked at her, there was such a peace that was over her that I knew it was a good spiritual experience. And sure enough, at the end of the service, on their way home, the daughter was expressing to her father this experience that she had with God during the time. Now, see, you didn't know anything about that, did you? Neither did I. Until they came and they wanted to share with me. Because a lot of stuff goes on, but we don't think anything is happening a lot of times. Are you following what I'm saying? I didn't mean to get off on that, but let me stay with my point I want to make. Yes, I did happen to serve Christmas. Was it? Christmas is the fulfillment of divine promise, and that everything that God does is a fulfillment of a desire that he has. The story of Jesus through Mary was a part of the fulfillment of that desire that God had. He had a desire to deliver mankind from his problem, from his sin, from his fall, from his loss of dominion, from his disconnect or disconnection with him. And he wanted to fix all that. And he planned to do that. That's why you and I have Christmas. He planned to do that through this virgin called Mary, or named Mary. I'm sharing some of this with in our chapel list today. I was telling the young kids, and I said to them, do you know what virgin means? One simple line. Virgin mean I never done that. That's a literal meaning. I've never done that. So when everybody knows what that is, I never done that. So if I never done that, then that makes me a virgin. Right? What made Mary a virgin? She never done that. She never done what? She never knew a man. And because she never knew a man, when the angel came to her, Mary, you are blessed and highly favored of God. You're going to have a son. She says, I never done that. Now, remember, this is a desire that God had that he was going to use to fulfill a promise that he made. And he used this virgin to be able to do that. Now, everybody understands why, or all the believers understand why, everybody else's blood was corrupted, right? The first man, his blood was corrupted, and that blood passed unto all of us. So all of our blood, right? It was all corrupted. So in order to do this, then he had to have a new line. But that person still had to be a human, a man. So he found a virgin. One that never done that, was not involved with that contamination of that blood, because life is in the blood. right? So he got a virgin. And then he came to the virgin and he announced through the angel, he made an announcement to her. Mary, you are highly favored of God, and you are going to have a son, a child. You're going to have a child, and that child is going to be called Jesus. You're going to call him Jesus because he's going to save the world from sin. Right? I said that, I started singing a song for the year. Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Mary had a little lamb. I said, his fleece was white as snow. Right? Mary had a little lamb. Did you know that was referring to Jesus? Huh? No? It's not? Everywhere that Mary went, Mary went. Mary went. Everywhere that Mary went. She was sure to go. Yeah, well, whether it believes to that or not, Mary did have a little lamb. That was the child that would come. And that child, when we said his fleece was white as snow, we really means that his blood was not contaminated. Was not like our blood. Because we got our blood from the first Adam. And so the life that was in the blood of the first Adam was a life that was corrupted. And so you and I today have partook of the life that came from the last Adam, who came from this virgin. Right? I have never done that. See that statement? I have never done that. I have never done that. You and I were created or were born a second time. And you and I have become like that virgin. We are like that virgin because just like God had a special purpose and assignment for that virgin, he has a special purpose and assignment for you as a virgin. And remember, virgin simply means, I never done that. So what it means to you is that what that assignment that God has for you, you've never done that. That's why you're so unique. That's why your thumbprint is like nobody else's. Because just as God utilized that virgin, so too he expects to utilize all of us who are virgins in the sense that what he has assigned us to do, we've never done that. And because we've never done that, we've got to recognize the same illustration and the same example and the same way that he did it with that virgin is the same way that he expects to do it with you and me as virgins. So what did he do? First, he brought an angel to come and say to this virgin, Mary, I've got a special assignment for you. Well, he's saying the same thing. Call your name. Put your name in. Put your name in. Put your name in. I have a special assignment for you. And you are a virgin when it comes to that assignment because you've never done that. Mary, when the angel told her that stuff, she said, how could this be? I've never done that. That's good, Mary, because that's how you know it's from God, because you've never done that. So you're going to need supernatural infusion to be able to do that. Just like God is saying to you and me, I have a special assignment for you, and you never done that. But you need special infusion just like Mary did. The angel came and spoke to Mary. Then Mary listened to what the angel said. She said, well, how is it going to be done? Well, don't be concerned, Mary, because the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. And then that thing, that son, that child that is put in you will be the Holy One. See, it's going to be a supernatural infusion. You are going to ask God, how is that going to happen? Whatever your assignment is, whatever he's saying to you, I'm talking about not what you've done in the past. I'm talking about looking at 12:12 as a new brand day, period of time for you. From heaven, what I'm telling you. But if you don't behave like Mary, if you don't believe like Mary, if you don't believe you're a virgin, number one, and number two, if you don't believe that you've never done that, but you need supernatural infusion to have it done, if you don't believe that, therefore, if you have no expectation, then you might as well go your way. Don't even come to the service. Mary said, how is this going to happen? The angel explained to her. And then she said, well, if that's the way it's going to happen, let's do it. Even though what was said was an impossibility. Because nowhere, really, was there ever a virgin having a baby without a man. So it was an impossibility. But she didn't say, that's never going to happen. With me, that's never going to happen. She didn't say that. She's not talking like so many believers. So many non-believing believers. She's not saying, that's never going to happen. Not me. Oh, I can't handle that. I'm not able. She didn't do that. See, because if that comes out of her mouth, then it nullifies what God wants to do. Now, we have the exact example with her uncle, Zechariah. Because another angel came to Zechariah when he was doing his daily ministration in the temple. And when the angel came to him and said, Zechariah, you are going to have a child, you and Elizabeth. And that child is going to be a special child. Zechariah said that is not going to happen. He said, how is that going to happen? That can't happen. She is too old. I'm too old. That's not going to happen. And before he can go and nullify what God wants done, his lips were shut. He was hit, made dumb, so he doesn't echo any negative word. God wants to kind of make some of us dumb so that we don't echo any negative word. Well, we always hear stuff like that. You know, so okay, it's 12, 12, 12. So we always hear stuff like that. Well, yeah, but you know how long we've been waiting for? Shut up! Now, that's not what I'm saying. This is what the angel is telling Zacharias. Now, I don't think the angel was that disrespectful. He just told Zacharias, would you please be quiet? That's a little better, right? That sounds better than shut up. So I always tell my kids, don't talk like that. You know, I hate when people say that. Shut up. Yeah, so disrespectful. I'd rather you say, would you please be quiet? I can handle that. Huh? Anybody following my drift here? The angel said, we will not allow you to say any negative stuff against what is ordained here. So you have to be dumb until that child is born. So you are not going to negate anything because your words, Zachariah, are very important. Church, your words are very important. You have to be like Mary, not like Zachariah. You have to come expecting that what God has said, no matter how long it has stayed and has been delayed, you are going to receive. You are expecting that this thing must happen. You've got to have that type of expectation. That's how you have to come. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what's going on in your body. I don't care what's going on in your head. I don't care what's going on with your finances. You have to come saying, Lord, you spoke to us. You said this in the beginning of the year, even though we weren't really paying attention. Somebody was. Even though we weren't following everything, the whole year was going by. All we could see was the negative things that were taking place. But God, you said it. Now you are reminding us about it. We are going to stand firm and believe and expect. You got to come that way. You got to come to that service. You got to be bubbling and be ready. You've got to come expecting. Don't expect the preacher to go pray and fast. That has nothing to do with it. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. Do you ever hear people say, oh, maybe you said this. I know I did. Well, I wish I was born in the time with Jesus. I wish I walked this place with Jesus when Jesus was here. You know, I don't say that stuff, man. I don't want to be in that time. I like this time. I like the conveniences that we have in this time. You might want to be back then, but not me. Every time they had to go anywhere, if you didn't have your own donkey, hey, you had to hoof it. Right? That's what they say. No. It's a special time for everything. You were born for a time such as this. And you were born again as a virgin for a specific assignment that God has, and only you can do that. Now, you don't want to die and go to the grave with all that potential in you, right? You don't want to make the grave the richest place in the world. Because right now, you've got the grave is the richest place in the world. Because in the graveyard, you have all these folks who died without releasing their potential. You and I are not like that. We are not going to die with all that stuff in us. We are going to die, should the Lord tarry, empty. You ready to die empty? It starts with hearing the word that God is giving to you, understanding the assignment, and that knowing that you're a virgin, because you need supernatural help to carry that out. But God has ordained it to be so, so you can carry out what God has for you, so that you could have your own Christmas. Now, if you're not expecting anything, then go home. Or stay home, not go home. Stay home. We want folks coming in here, leaving. Like one of my brothers said to me Sunday. Came up to me and was talking about the expectation and the joy and while he was talking about it, I could see God all over him. You know, and I'm hearing his words, you know, and I said, that's it. So I'm saying inside, because his joy and his enthusiasm is stirring me too, because I'm expecting what God is doing today. Now, I'm expecting. Mary, this is what's going to happen. Well, let it happen. Let it happen. Let it happen. But you got to be careful. You have to be careful about certain things. You know, when Mary got pregnant, you recognize the shame that she had to go through, because which of those people were spiritually minded to believe that the creator of the universe is going to choose this little girl from this nowhere village to bring redemption to the world, to put the Redeemer in her? No. Mary was in peril for her life. That's why the angel had to come to Joseph and said, Joseph, let me explain to you what's going on here. This stuff is of God. What Mary is saying, that child, this whole thing is of God. And so Joseph had to be a just man. Because if he wasn't a just man, he would have said, I don't believe that. No. She's not going to play me like that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He had to be a just man. Just like when God tells you your stuff, you got to be a just person. You got to be a born-again person. You've got to be a person who is convinced of your righteousness. Because if you're not, you are not going to have any expectation. You're going to talk negative. You're going to be like Zechariah. You're going to talk against the thing. You're going to listen to everyone, because the whole crowd is going to be saying things that are negative. You can't allow that to happen to you. You know what God did? God took Mary. He got her out of town. He sent her by Elizabeth. Then she went by Elizabeth, and Elizabeth saw her coming. Mary, you are blessed and highly favored. Elizabeth? Yeah, it's me. She was pregnant herself, right? when God put your assignment and your dream in you, you've got to be careful not to abort it with your tongue. And then you have to be careful that you don't go around people who are going to get you to abort your baby. Go around those who can understand the supernatural that's going on. It's like Mary, see, because she had a supernatural experience too. So she could relate to Zachariah. He was like this. So we had to shut him up a little bit, you know, keep his mouth quiet. But Elizabeth understood, if you are not going to get around people who are going to have that like mind and are going to be expecting, and you're going to get around the naysayers, my friend, you are going to abort your assignment. You don't want to do that. When we come together, listen, I'm telling you, God spoke. On that day, you know, even before that. But what is going to happen, there is, right? It's happening now. There's a breakthrough that's taking place. You know, it's shattering stuff that we've been believing. Suddenly now it's like, ha! I don't know about you, but you need to get around people that are expecting.